إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Inshallah ta'ala, we continue reading from Mulakhas al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan. Hafidahu Allah ta'ala wa mata'ahu bis sahha wa al-afiyah. Min kitab al-riba, bayan al-riba wa hukmih. We stopped at the hikmah. Qala wa al-hikmatu fi tahrim al-riba. The wisdom behind prohibiting dealing in riba. So we learned before the riba is haram. As for Muslims, Muslims do not deal with usury and interest and mortgage and all these things that involves interests and the like. We do not add money or interest on people that they borrow money from us and the like. But rather the Muslim, if he's able, can help the Muslims, help those who are in need. And he or she, their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال والحكمة في تحريم الربا أن فيه أكلا لأموال الناس بغير حق. أن فيه أكلا لأموال الناس بغير حق. لأن المرابي يأخذ منهم الربا من غير أن يستفيدوا شيئا في مقابله. من غير أن يستفيدوا شيئا في مقابله. The Sheikh said, dealing, now he's given us some of the reasons and the wisdom behind the prohibition of riba. It's good to know these things. Because dealing in riba involves consuming people's wealth unjustly. Unjustly. And that is the usurer takes riba from people without giving them anything useful in return. وكذلك أن فيه إضرارا بالفقراء والمحتاجين الربا فيه إضرارا بالفقراء والمحتاجين بمضاعفة الديون عليهم عند عجزهم عن تسديدها وذلك لأنه إذا جاء الأجل وليس عنده ما يسدد به الدين يقول له المدين نزيد في الأجل لكن نزيد في الدين كذلك وهذا ربا والعياذ بالله. Likewise, dealing in riba involves causing harm to those in need and those in need who borrow by increasing the debts due upon them, the interest rate, when they are unable to pay their debts. As we're going to learn later on, that for example, if somebody is in need and he go and borrow some money from someone who has money, and this is to be done in Jahiliyyah, Islam made it haram. So what they used to do in Jahiliyyah before Islam, when someone borrows money from someone else, and they says, okay, they agree that after a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever they agree on, you're going to bring it back, pay it back. But when a person, the term comes and cannot pay it, then the person will say, okay, we will prolong the term, but we have to add some more money. And that's haram, that's not permissible. وكذلك من الحكم الحكمة في تحريم الربا أن فيه قطعا للمعروف بين الناس. الربا يقطع المعروف وسدا لباب القرض الحسن. سدا لباب القرض الحسن الذي فيه أجر عظيم من الله سبحانه وتعالى الذي يقرض الناس وييسر عليهم, هذا فيه أجر عظيم من الله. أما الذي يتعامل بالربا فهو يسد هذا الباب ويفتح باب قرض فتح باب القرض بالفائدة التي تثقل كاهل الفقير. Likewise, from the wisdom behind the prohibiting the riba, riba prevents favors and kind treatment among people. People, they won't be kind and help, and Islam teach us to adorn ourselves with the good manners, such as being merciful to others, pay in mind if Allah has given you money, then you look around those who don't have enough, then you help them out, whether by giving them charity or by lending money to them and make it easy on them. If the term comes and they don't have all of it or most of it or none of it, then you say, you know what, go ahead inshallah, I give you a couple more months inshallah, barakallahu fiik. This is what Islam teach us, to be kind and mindful of those people who are in need, because Allah is the one who gave the rich person the wealth. So in return, he has to be grateful to Allah and show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by helping others who are in need. But when dealing with riba, it's different. Riba prevents favors and kind treatments among people, blocks good loans, those loans without interest, and open the door wide for lending for interest, which overburdens the needy borrower. وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. وكذلك يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان الربا فيه تعطيل للمكاسب والتجارات الحرف والصناعات التي لا تنتظم مصالح العالم إلا بها، لأن المرابي إذا تحصل على زيادة ماله بواسطة الربا بدون تعب فلن يلتمس طرقا أخرى للكسب الشاق. يقول عنده 100 مليون دولار، يضعه في البنك ويأخذ 30 أو 40 ألف دولار في الأسبوع، لماذا يشتغل؟ لماذا يستيقظ باكرا؟ وإذا لم يفعل هذا، لأنه إذا فتح يعني شغل أو تجارة فهو سبحان الله سيفتح الباب لكثير من الأسر والعوائل، سبحان الله رزق. أما بالربا يقول لماذا، أنا يضع ماله في البنك وتأتي 100 ألف في الشهر أو أكثر، قل لماذا أتعب؟ وهي من الحرام والعياذ بالله. قال لأن المرابي إذا تحصل على زيادة ماله بواسطة الربا بدون تعب فلن يلتمس طرقا أخرى للكسب الشاق، والله تعالى جعل طريقة تعامل الناس في معايشهم قائما على أن تكون استفادة كل واحد من الآخر في مقابل عمل يقوم به نحوه أو عين يدفعها إليه، والربا خال من ذلك أو عن ذلك، لأنه عبارة عن إعطاء المال مضاعفا من طرف لآخر بدون مقابلة من عين ولا عمل. الشيخ mentioned a very beautiful point. He says riba, usury, also results in stopping gains, trades, professions and crafts without which other people's interests would not be set right. And this is because when the usurer increases his money through riba without exerting any effort, then why should he look for other ways to gain his livelihood? And so this is how it happened. The person who has a lot of money, they think like this. They says, look, if they put their money in the bank and that bank give them a rate, and then the more they have money, the more the rates, and they make more money as they think, but it's haram money. That's how they look at it. They look, somebody who has like $100 million or 10 or more or less, now he's getting, for example, 100,000 a month or more, depending on how much money he put in that bank, which is haram, by the way, we put an emphasis on that. But then this person is like, hey, why would he start a business and deal with all the headaches and get up early in the morning? And now he's making like easy money as he thinks. So, but if this person invests that money or some of it, subhanAllah, that's opened the door for so many families. See, when he put his money in the bank, which is haram, and he's collecting a lot of money as he thinks, but still is closing the door for a lot of other families. But if that person invests not all his money, but some money, some of his money, business here, houses in here, I don't know, transportation in here, school in here, clinics, whatever. Now, subhanAllah, you know how many people they're going to work in there? Drivers, cooks, teachers, doctors, engineers, nurses. It's amazing. Electricians, plumbers, drivers, cleaners. It's amazing. So many families are making a living, and he's rewarded because he has given the open the door for them. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. But the murabi, the person who deal with riba, he ain't concerned with no society. He ain't concerned, he care about himself. He's going to get some easy money, as he says, but will make his standing in front of Allah difficult. Okay, he thinks that it's easy money in this life, but his standing in front of Allah and accounting will be very difficult unless he or she, meaning that person, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. So in this regard, the Shaykh, he says, Allah exalted be He, has made dealings amongst people be based on mutual benefits in return for work or material return. You want to benefit from one another? You work for the person or sell the person something. That's how you're going to benefit from each other. By working for them or they work for you, or by conducting business. On the other hand, dealing in riba does not involve this, since it is simply giving money multiplied from one party to another without any visible product or work. And keep in mind that those people who they put their money for this purpose, which is haram, to collect interest, okay, and they give them like 3% or 2% or 2.9 or whatever the case is, and keep in mind, along with this, they may be dealing with the bank, the non-Muslim bank, and not dealing with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has judged. And they put a lot of money to that bank, they're going to like use it for other things. You know, they use it for other purposes. وَلَيْهِ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ وَالْرِبَى فِي اللُّغَةِ. So these are some of the wisdom. Who remembers some of the wisdom, the points? The Shaykh mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4. Who remembers some, inshallah ta'ala, before we move on to the next point? Who remembers some of the reason, wisdom? Because somebody, you may talk to someone, riba is haram, because especially if somebody is making, as they think, nice money, you know? Somebody who put a lot of money, $10 million or more or less. What is the rate? Somebody know the rates of riba that the banks give? Oh, it depends how much they put in. Yeah. Well, is it like the more they put, the more they get, or less?
The more. It's from one set to one amount, and then if it's more than that, they give you a better rate. If you put more in,
if they give that person better rate,
you give that person
a better rate. Yes. Inshallah. Hey, I'm going to continue to do what I got to do. Inshallah. Okay? Inshallah. So, what is it like if a person put $1 million in Wells Fargo? You know, you have an idea how much the rate? Anybody know? No. How would you know, right? You Salafis. This is information. It's not like if you know there's something wrong with that. We just want us to know.
Usually at that amount it would be like 10 to 20%.
Really?
Yeah, when you get to the millions and stuff, yeah. Like
that's a lot.
Yeah.
So they really tempt the people.
Yeah.
Subhanallah. La halal. So if it's 10%, that's mean like what? A month or a year?
A month?
Yeah. La halal. May Allah have mercy on us. See, it's good to be poor, man, to be broke. It's a ni'mah from Allah to be broke. You just have enough, right, Abdul Majid? Huh? Subhanallah. You thank Allah. Because, akhi, you got money, now you be tempted. You see the signs, 10%, 20%, and you already have $10 million, you'll be like, wow, 25%? For people, they be shopping perhaps, right? Go from a bank to another, right?
Yeah.
Or they give him 17. How much you give? 18 and a half. Okay. They go to the other one, they give 18. La halala. But man, you have what you have. Alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about. You see this publicity or whatever, you're like, hey, that's not for me. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. Ameen. Naam, some of the wisdom. Naam, Hassan.
It prevents, Islam encourages mercy between people, so it prevents showing mercy to people.
Ahsant. Because Islam commands us to adorn ourselves with the good manners of Islam, like being merciful to the people, taking consideration that those who are in need, you help them out. And you're in reality, you're helping yourself. Because when you help someone, Allah helps you. We have so many texts. If you make things easy on certain people in this life, Allah make the affairs of the hereafter easier for you. But riba is not. When someone come and want to borrow, it's like, hey, 10%, 20%. You're going to give it back with 20%. I make dua for you. Listen, man, make dua, no dua. Listen, you got to give it 20%. You want or not? See, Allah knows that. What else? What is some of the benefits or some of the hikam, Naam, Luqman?
Because the person who deals with the riba, he eats the wealth of people, money of people.
Unjustly. Without any return. He's not doing no work for them. He's not selling them no goods, and he just takes their money. Naam, yes. The one who deals with riba, he takes the people's wealth and money unjustly. Unlike someone who sells a commodity, yes, that's why he makes his money. Or the one who works for somebody, that's why he's making money. He finishes his job and he gets paid. He sells him a product and he gets paid. But this person, he's not working, he's not selling anything, and he's still making 20%. You see how it is? Now, what else? Now, Hussein. Now, Ahsant, that those who deal with riba, they are not helping the society economically. The economy will go down. That's why you see recession and all that stuff. You see? People just want to put their money in the banks and this, and when the bank goes down, everything goes down. They don't, but alhamdulillah, Islam command the people inside the people to work and to invest and to start businesses and you know, to promote businesses and start the like of this. But the riba, can you imagine the most of the rich people in one area or one country all deal with riba? That's it, they're not going to invest their money. You know? And then, who will be investing their money?
The banks.
That's why the banks, they go and who knows what they do with that money, that's one thing. And then they will go and buy everything in the area, and they have a monopoly now. You see? Now they can set any price they want. You see how it is? وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. But when the people, they invest their money, so there's a competition, there is, and especially if they're Muslims, they have mercy, they're merciful, they remember where they come from before they get this money, they were poor to themselves. So now they take in consideration and they give breaks, as we say, to those who need breaks. But the bank don't give you no break, man. They break your back. That's what they do. I don't care if a person been paying for 20 years or 15 or more or less. If he missed one or a couple of payments, what happened? That's it. Foreclosure, that's it. And they don't care. But we, alhamdulillah, we learn in these things so that we can protect ourselves. And also when we talk to others who want to deal with riba, you tell them the reasons, inshallah ta'ala. Now, Fahim, you, another reason or another?
I was thinking the hitman, where Allah speaks about let the debtor, the one who's incurring the debt, let them dictate the terms of the contract.
Hmm.
Because a person's not going to put themselves in hardship. Because you, if you go to a car dealership, they already have the contract.
I know, that's it. Based on their terms.
That's going to benefit them.
Ahsan, that's it. They don't care about the other people. That's true. they look at all their benefit. That's it. Hey now. جزاك الله خير. طيب بارك الله فيكم. قال الشيخ والربا في اللغة معناه الزيادة وهو في الشرع زيادة في أشياء مخصوصة وينقسم إلى قسمين ربا النسيئة وربا الفضل. ربا النسيئة وربا الفضل. In the Sheikh he says linguistically the word riba ra ba alif in Arabic means increase, while in jurisprudence, riba means increase in particular things. And it is divided into two kinds. The first is riba nasi'a, and the other is riba al-fadl. And as for the first one, riba nasi'a is a conditional excess for delay of payment. They add more money to them for delaying the payments. وَرِبَ الْفَضْلِ the selling of an item for another of the same type on the spot but in excess. We're going to get to that later inshallah ta'ala in the definition of both of them. قَالْ وَرِبَ النَّسِيءَ مَأْخُودٌ مِنَ النَّسْءِ وَهُوَ التَّأْخِيرُ وَهُوَ نَوْعَانٌ. As for the riba of a nasi'a, it is taken from a nas' to delay. وَهُوَ نَوْعَانٌ. It is of two types. This riba nasi'a, remember this term, nasi'a, not an-nisa', sin, an-nasi'a. If it was sad, it would say what? An-nasi'a. An-nasi'a, sin, riba nasi'a, and riba al-fadl, al-fadl. So try to remember these two terms, okay? تأخير من النس ليس من النسيان. نسيان is forgetfulness. هذا من النس هو التأخير, to delay. وهو نوعان. And this first now, look, riba is two types. Riba النسيئة and riba الفضل. But riba النسيئة فضل. Alif lam fa dad lam. Or if you want to put it in English, A-L-F-A-D-L, Al-Fadl. طيب. So, this riba nasi'a is two types itself, okay? أحدهما قلب الدين على المعسر. وهذا هو أصل الربا في الجاهلية. أن الرجل يكون له على الرجل المال المؤجل. فإذا حل الأجل قال له أتقضي أم تربي فإن وفاه وإلا زاد هذا في الأجل وزاد هذا في المال فيتضاعف المال في ذمة المدين فحرم الله ذلك بقوله في سورة البقرة وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة. فإذا حل الدين وكان الغريم معسرا يعني لا يستطيع أن يقضي قال لم يجوز أن يقلب الدين عليه بل يجب إنذاره وإن كان موسرا كان عليه الوفاء فلا حاجة إلى زيادة الدين مع يسر المدين ولا مع عسره. The first type of the two types, the first of the two types of riba and nasi'a, the Shaykh, he says, increasing the debt on the insolvent person by way of interest rate. Increasing the debt on the insolvent person. The insolvent person is the one who cannot pay. Person who have troubles. You know, he doesn't have the money. He borrowed, but when it times to pay, he's struggling. He doesn't have the money. So what they do, they increase the debt. If it was $100, now they say it's $120 or $130, for example, by way of an interest rate. And this is the origin of riba, which used to be done in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance, al-jahiliyyah, before Islam. It means, the Sheikh explained it, what does it mean? It means that a person owes another person a sum of money that is to be paid at a certain time. So a person, for example, borrowed $1,000 or $10,000 or more or less for 6 months. This person says, okay, in 6 months he will pay back. Tayyib? So he said, it means that a person owes another person a sum of money that is to be paid at a certain time. So when it is time for paying back, the creditor gives the debtor the option either to pay the debt or to allow him much more time in return for an interest on the borrowed sum. See, that's what the Jahiliyyah they used to do. They used to say to him, all right, it's time now. 6 months up, $10,000. You have it? Pay it. Don't? All right, we can give you another month or 2 or 6 months, but it's not going to stay 10,000. It's going to be 12, for example, or something like that. You see? So therefore, if the debtor chooses not to settle his debt, the creditor prolongs the period of payment against an interest, which thereby results in the excessive increase of the debt. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits this type of transaction, saying in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. And if someone is in hardship, then let there be postponement until a time of ease. Allahu Akbar. This is what Allah says. If someone, for example, owes someone something, and a time comes in, and that person doesn't have the money to pay back, then Allah tells us, give him another time. Without increasing anything to the sum, just give them another time. Somebody borrowed $1,000, but then they didn't have it. Then you give them some extra time. You give them some extra time. So the Sheikh Fawzan says, the verse signifies that if the time of payment is due and the debtor is unable to fulfill his debt, it is impermissible, meaning it's not permissible, for the creditor to increase debt. Rather, the creditor should give the debtor a grace period. On the other hand, if the debtor is wealthy, he is to pay his due debt. Hence, no increase in the debt by way of an interest should be made whether the debtor is insolvent or not. So you don't add anything whether the person has money or doesn't have money. النوع الثاني من الربا النسيئة, the second type of ربا النسيئة, ما كان في بيع كل جنسين, ما كان في بيع كل جنسين اتفق في علة ربا الفضل مع تأخير قبضهما أو قبض أحدهما كبيع الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح كما سيأتي في الحديث متفق عليه وكذا بيع جنس بجنس من هذه المذكورات مؤجلة وما شارك هذه الأشياء في العلة يجري مجراها وسيأتي بيان ذلك. The Sheikh said the second, and I want to just put it to your attention, there is some terminologies and it's not easy to understand, but alhamdulillah we bring them, but we make our efforts to read the chapter again and again and again, ask questions and do some researches, okay? Because now this is some terms and the like that will, especially for those amongst us who are not familiar with them, it's not going to be easy, you know, to soak in, you know? It's not like when you give a talk, you know, on Tahara, on Salat, on Ramadan, on Hajj, mashallah, we've been listening, hearing this, but for those amongst us who are not familiar with this, the chapters of transactions, then it's not going to be easy for us to digest everything we hear at the first time. And that's normal. Right or wrong? That's only normal. So he says the second type of riba and nasi'a, it refers to the riba taken through selling goods of the same type. Okay, same type. But in excess, which is the property in the case of riba al-fadl, with delaying the date of delivery, whether for both or just one of the items. You understood something? See, I told you it's difficult a little bit. I'm going to repeat, okay? He says this second type of riba, in riba al-nasi'a, it refers, so the first one was easy, right? Somebody borrowed money, and then the person who, the creditor, when the time comes in, is up, he was like, hey, you got the money? Yes, all right. He gave him the money, no problem in here. But if the person say, look, man, something comes up, I don't have the money, then the other person say, okay, well, it's no problem. We can give you, what do you want, another 3 months? Yeah, but it's going to be an increase. That's haram. Now here is about like merchandise, okay? It refers to the riba taken through selling goods of the same type, like, but selling goods like these people, they're selling gold for gold or silver for silver, not gold for silver, okay? And these are people, two people, they selling dates. This person has dates and this person have dates. He's selling to him dates for dates. Not dates for money, or dates for gold, or dates for silver, okay? So this person have dates from his country, the other person have dates from his country. They're two different dates, but they're dates. So he's going to tell him, okay, I'll give you this amount of dates from my country, okay? For example, but look, if you notice my dates from my country are more famous, or they are more better than your country, so I'm giving you like 10 kilos for 20 of your country. See what I'm talking about? Is this is permissible or not? Then that's what we're learning. I'm just giving you an example. Okay? Or somebody going to come and want to buy barley. You know barley? Barley. But there are different qualities. This one comes from this fertile land. This one, I don't know what. Is it? That's what we're talking about here. Okay? So it refers to the riba taken through selling goods of the same type but in excess, which is the property in the case of riba al-fadl, with delaying the date of delivery, whether for both or just one of the items. There are many examples of this type, such as selling gold for gold, see, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, salt for salt, and the like. Besides this type includes selling any type of these items for the same on credit. The same applies to whatever shares these items in the property of riba al-fadl, as will be pointed out below, inshallah. You will understand this once we give the definition of riba al-fadl. ما هو ريب الفضل؟ ريب الفضل مأخوذ من الفضل وهو عبارة عن الزيادة في أحد العوضين وقد نص الشارع على تحريمه في ستة أشياء هي الذهب والفضة والبر والشعير والتمر والملح ست أشياء الذهب الفضة البر الشعير التمر والملح فإذا بيع أحد هذه الأشياء بجنسه يعني إذا بيع الذهب بالذهب أو الفضة بالفضة ليس الذهب بالفضة الذهب بالذهب أو الفضة بالفضة أو البر بالبر أو الشعير بالشعير أو التمر بالتمر أو الملح بالملح حرم التفاضل بينهما قولا واحدا حرم التفاضل لحديث عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه مرفوعا الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد رواه الإمام أحمد ومسلم ربا الفضل the excess usury and this type of riba refers to the selling of an item for another of the same type but in excess for example this person he want to sell him you know 5 kilos of dates for 8 kilos of dates from his type. You see? All right, here's my 5 kilos, but you got to give me 8 of yours in the same type, dates, okay? I know. So with regard to this issue, the Prophet ﷺ dictates that this kind of transactions is prohibited. This kind of transaction is prohibited in 6 items. Namely gold, silver, wheat. W-H-E-A-T. Wheat, barley, dates, and salt. So if any of these items is sold in exchange for another of the same type, then it is prohibited to take more than the other in weight or measure. Okay? So you cannot like have this person selling barley for barley. You can't tell him, look, listen, give me 10 kilos for 20, for example. Alright? Same thing about dates. Same thing about silver. Doesn't matter, the ulama says, keep in mind, doesn't matter. All types of silver, all types of gold included in this. Not just a category of gold. Anyone. Let me finish the hadith, inshallah. So this is due to the hadith narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, as marfu', in which the Prophet ﷺ said, gold is to be paid for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, and salt for salt, like for like, and equal for equal, and payment is to be made hand to hand, meaning at that moment. Now, قال الشيخ فدل الحديد على تحريم بيع الذهب بالذهب بجميع أنواعه من مضروب وغيره وعن بيع الفضة بالفضة بجميع أنواعها إلا مثلا بمثل يدا بيد سواء بسواء وعن بيع البر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح بجميع أنواعها إلا متساوية مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد. شيخ صالح حفظه تعالى he says, so the above hadith states the prohibition of paying gold for gold, all its types, coined or not, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, or dates for dates, unless like for like, equal for equal, like the measurements and the weight, and payment is made on the spot. Furthermore, the majority of scholars, they agree on the prohibition of selling an item as a payment for another unless both are equal. The same ruling applies to other things that share the same cause of judgment. Yet scholars differ as regard sitting such cause of judgment. In this respect, the soundest view is that the common property in money, coins, or banknotes is its value. And that is, other similar types are to be valued according to the value of money, such as those banknotes used today. Hence, it is maintained prohibited to sell any of such items in excess for another of the same type, namely being issued in the same country. So, 15? 17. Nine. Fadal.
How about if gold is different,
like, we mentioned here, it doesn't matter. All gold. Doesn't matter.
How about,
as long as it's gold, it's gold. As long as it is gold. 18 carats, 24, 12, 10, doesn't matter. Cannot sell gold for gold, except they have to be equal. I know. Yes.
Money and something, because people sell, you know, coins that are regular, you know, gold coins or silver coins, and they overcharge for the coin just because it's a certain type of coin.
Maybe because antique.
It's just a silver though.
Huh?
It's just a silver.
But it's antique. They say this coin, silver coin, is from 1854. They have the same coin from 1854 and another coin from 2014. And of course, the one from 2014 cost like $1, and the one from 1854 cost what? $1 million. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, in the news they had this penny, from like 18 something. It was a penny actually, from the first penny or something, and he went in the auction for like $1 million plus. One penny. So your question is?
I'm saying this, they made of the same material. 2014 made of silver, and 1814 made of silver. Mm-hmm. And they're the same. It's just
it's not the same. Because it's two different types of silvers. Because like now, copper is...
No, I'm talking about silver.
It's still not made the same. Cause
no, I'm talking about the ones that made of silver.
Look, we see the issue is not about the silver or something. These guys, they look at the antique. They look at this price go like that, because those people who are looking for those old items. You know what I'm talking about? They're looking for those. Some people have a lot of money, they don't know what to do with it. They just go buy a ball, baseball ball. Like of 1937, baseball. You know the ball? How much you get it in dollar store? 99 cents. But they go for $700,000. See, simply because Joe DiMaggio, I don't know what. Some guy hit it. And that guy hit it not only in some ballpark, in some day, in some event. That's like the last hit or that give the championship. That one, there was a lot of balls in there, but that one is a $700,000. All the other ones are $50. They made from the same thing. They all come from the same, you see? So it's like the antique, huh? Is it permissible or not? Huh? You're asking me. Okay, I don't know. But inshallah, I can try to find an answer for you. Alhamdulillah. Exactly. That's a good question. I never thought about it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, inshallah, we're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We will continue. Next class, we're going to continue from bringing the Riba al-Fadl once again. Riba al-Fadl, because the Shaykh, he mentioned examples of that, inshallah ta'ala. Those who have the book, because it's translated in English, read the chapter more than one time, inshallah. Do some homework. So when you come to the class, you already have an idea, inshallah ta'ala. You're familiar with the terms and some words, inshallah. Likewise, those who have the Arabic, read, inshallah ta'ala, the chapter in Arabic. So that when you come to the class, inshallah ta'ala, it become easy for you to know what the class is about. Because like I told you, this class is here, there's a lot of terms and words that we are not familiar with, okay? So instead of us focus on understanding, now our brain is just trying to register. And that's what's going to take time. Instead of trying to understand, now a person trying to actually have an idea what this term is about. Nasi'a, fadl. So let us do some of our parts. As the ulama, they always say that. They says the best way you benefit from any class is that when you prepare that class, before you come to it. Any class, tahara, salat, zakat, hajj, fasting, aqidah, tawheed, marriage, anything, transactions, inheritance, what you do, you read that chapter home. If you understood it, alhamdulillah, then when you come to the class, you may get some extra benefits, inshallah. You may be able to help in the class too. Inshallah, do your homework. Alhamdulillah, especially in our time, we have a lot of material. All we have to do is to find some time, inshallah. Sit down, do some researches. Maybe, though especially if you know Arabic, alhamdulillah, it's going to be very easy for you. This the ulama, you find many of our novel scholars that already talked about these matters we're talking about today. And also, even in English, you may find, alhamdulillah, that some of our brothers, they dealt with, like Musa Richardson, mashallah, maybe he dealt with it before, and other than him, so you can listen to their talks, alhamdulillah, so you can prepare yourself for the class, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad, wa alihi, sahbihi, wa sallam, wa sallam, kathira.